Hello, how are you? In case you're new or have forgotten, my name is Stephanie Walsh. This is Side B Radio, the podcast. And this week I have a guest for you to listen to, an interview that I did with her. Her name is Esther Falick, and she'll explain who she is and what she does, obviously, in the interview segment. I wanted to say I'm sorry for the delay between episodes. It's like, oh, hey, I'm going to start doing this again. Just kidding. But, I mean, I would like to be more consistent. Realistically, I don't know how that looks right now because I personally feel like if I have no interview or anything, there's kind of no reason for me to put out an episode because what am I going to do? Just talk at you for 30 minutes or so? Which I guess I could. And maybe next week, actually, that's what I will do. Because it's been a while, I guess. There's a lot to talk about. The rest of the world, we've all been through stuff this past year. But I have deactivated my personal Instagram, and honestly, it feels very freeing right now. I was using it almost like a diary of sorts that I was like documenting everything I did, even on days I didn't do anything. It was still like, here's my outfit, here's my lunch. And it's kind of like, who cares? And you know what? Maybe some of you do. Genuinely, somebody was like, I love seeing your outfits. I love seeing your food. But it just kind of got to the point that I was like, why am I sharing every mundane detail on my Instagram story as if anyone gives a damn? Because the reality, it's not like there was like lots of interaction. It's not like I'm an influencer. It's not like I was providing any form of like anything. It was just like, here's my dog. Look at this. Look at this. As I sit at my desk at home doing essentially nothing most of the time. And then there were also like moments that I overshared, and I wrote these diatribes about my unhappiness or whatever, and that's not serving anyone. No one wants to hear about how miserable someone else is. No one reaches out. Like, here's the thing. I'm not even saying like, oh, poor me, nobody cares, because that's not true. Plenty of people care about me. Plenty of people care about you too. Like, even if you don't realize it, people you don't even think about do care about you. And when people put out these like, hey, I feel terrible, I need a friend kinds of posts, a lot of people don't really pay attention. And that's kind of sad. And I'm kind of guilty of that. I've started to actually be better because I'm kind of like, well, even if you don't want to hear from me, I'm one person who might get through to you or something. Because right after I deactivated my Instagram, I've been using the podcast one to like keep up with things and people or whatever, but I'm not really sharing like I used to. But anyway, all that to say, somebody I used to know, like I'm not close to her, but we still follow each other on Instagram. She posted something about like how she was having a really hard time. So I replied and I was just like, hey, hang in there. You know, it gets better. That kind of crap that people roll their eyes at. But at the same time, when you're feeling bad, someone just saying something sometimes helps. So that's why I reached out to her. It was not like, oh, we're gonna like reform our relationship and maybe we're gonna be friends or something. Like, no. But hey, you're feeling crappy. I feel crappy all the time. Here's how I deal with it. Hope you are okay, you know? And I feel like I want to be more active in doing things like that because of the fact that the majority of my followers on Instagram kind of dropped the ball for me. So, and it is what it is. Everybody's busy. Some people, like, I have a friend who said she never responds to any of those like polls or anything on Instagram, or she never answers like the questions when people pose things on their stories because she doesn't want to be the only one who does it or like the one that is different from the rest of the crowd or whatever. Like, it's a self fear type thing for her. And I'm kind of the opposite. I'm like, I don't give a shit if you think I'm sitting here stalking your story because I responded as soon as you posted. I just happened to be online, like, whatever. And my whole thing is, like, people post things looking for interaction because they're looking for interaction. So participate with them if you care about them. That's how I see it. And, like, I kind of don't really care if people think, like, oh, my God, she always responds or whatever. Cool, then stop doing it or tell me not to or hide your story from me if you have a problem. But, yeah, like, I deactivated it after, full disclosure here, I guess. I had a really rough night in, like, mid-July. And I wrote this diatribe about, like, how much happier I was a few years ago when certain people were in my life, and, like, told I was naming them and everything, which is not something I usually do. Like, I don't know if you are a longtime listener, you'll know, like, I seldom use people's names. So I certainly don't on my, like, social media either. Even though, like, some people, like, I would really love to just say who they are and how I feel about them and whatever, but, like, whatever. I'm not that person. We're not in high school. So, but that night I did completely. It was like, when so-and-so was here, and when this was this, and this was this, and I was so much happier, and I was very wine drunk. And then, in, like, the middle of the night, I was speaking to someone. This one person was DMing me, and he was like, oh, do you want me to, like, come over? Which I was not even home, but I was like, no, thanks. And then I was like, okay, well, all of that needs to get deleted. And then I was like, okay, and out of 900-something people who followed my Instagram, one person responded to that stuff. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, so I'm just putting on a show for all these people who see it and don't care enough to, like, reach out. So why am I putting myself through this stuff? So, like, and it's disabled. I didn't, like, delete it. It's still there. I can reactivate it at any time. But I feel like I needed a break from sharing personal things online for a while. So, and then, like, the more, like, every day that goes by that I don't, oh, let me stop and take a picture of myself in the mirror and all that other stuff. It's like, why were you doing that to begin with? And truly, not to say people don't care, because I know that's not true, but crying about past things, crying about old relationships or whatever, Instagram's not the place to do that. And not for anything, but, like, 900-something people on the internet, even if you're friends, even if you're friends with all 900 of them, which is impossible, but the people who know your business don't need to see you, like, broadcasting it over and over and over again online. And the people who don't know your business, like, there's nothing they can do about it anyway. And to be honest, the only people that can fix relationships are the people that were in them. And if one of you doesn't want to, it's not going to change. So, in case you can't tell, I'm working with a therapist. So, I mean, and that's going well. I feel like I have a good outlook on life right now. I've been rambling for almost 10 minutes, so we're going to get into this interview with Esther. I do want to say, if you're interested in me literally just talking at you and catching you up on stuff, let me know on Twitter or slide into those DMs on Instagram or whatever on Side B Podcast. Cause like I said, the personal one is it's disabled right now. But I do want to say, like, there's a little bit of a disclaimer here. So Esther Falick recently came out as a trans woman, and that is largely what our conversation was about, which was not my intention. I wanted to talk to her about her shows and, like, her career. She's a comedian and stuff. You'll see, she's a writer, you know, she'll explain it. But the conversation was largely about, like, gender identity and things like that, and I'm already cringing about a couple of parts that I said, like, the wrong thing. Like, there was a moment where I said something about, like, somebody claiming to be bisexual, and I hated the way that sounded when I listened back, but I was like, but it flows in the conversation, I'm not, like, gonna edit that out. But just so you know, I was trying to be as open and understanding and everything that I could be. I believe Esther was as well. I mean, Esther's probably, she's in the community, so she has more experience than I do. But please, I hope that, like, you understand. I mean, again, people who listen to this, unless you're one of Esther's friends, which, hi, thank you for listening. You guys know I'm an accepting, open person, but sometimes, like, I put my foot in my mouth. So if that is something that offended you, just in advance, I'm very sorry. And it was not my intention, and, like, verbal, you know, slips or whatever. I'm trying, and I will be better, like, claiming. I hated that. I was like, what do you mean claiming? Like, when I was editing. So anyway, please, when you hear that and you cringe along with me, just know, like, that's not how I meant it. So yeah, this is my interview with Esther Falick. Please enjoy. Awesome. Esther, why don't you, I guess, tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Totally. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm so excited.
It's a long time coming, I think. I'm pretty sure we talked about it before.
Oh gosh, like way before.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it's happening. Yeah.
Well, so, like, we've known each other a pretty long time now. Like, I honestly, you know, I like forgot about your involvement in Spies Are Forever. And then I saw somebody posting about it, and I was like, oh my God, she was in that. it's all like a fever dream to me. Some of the stuff that, you know, like that we went out to California to go do. And so.
Right. No, it's like.
Different lives. As it feels like, I mean, not only does the pandemic has made it seem like the before times and everything, but it's just like so many different like branches of life, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well,
That was 5 years ago. And I'm pretty sure I had met you before that. So
yeah.
For a while.
I mean, it feels like throughout your 20s, like every year you're a different person. And some years that becomes doubly true, you know.
So tell the audience a little about you and chat about it.
My name is Esther Falick. I am a writer and performer, and I've done some work with the Tin Can Bros, and I also did Movies, Musicals, and Me with Clark Baxtresser and Pierce Siebers, and we ended up turning that into a web series for Star Kid. We ended up doing that at UCB for a while. And during the pandemic, I realized that I was a woman and began my transition. And so recently I've begun some stand-up, because I always wanted to do stand-up, but I had this sense, everyone always says that you needed to be yourself on stage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, for some reason, I just don't think I can do that. And I don't know why, but something's telling me I just can't be myself. But now that I have a much better sense of myself, I've been getting up on stage and doing some stand-up, and it's been pretty awesome. Yeah, and I'm hosting a monthly show called Heart of the City at the Nest in Brooklyn. And our first one was about 2 weeks ago now. And you were there.
I was there. And
your presence lit up the room.
Oh, thanks. I don't believe that, but thank you. it's funny because, I mean, obviously I, you know, follow your social media and keep up with you, and I think you're a wonderful person. I always did. So when you announced the Heart of the City, I saw the venue and I was like, wait, I know that venue, because I know the guy who runs the downstairs performance space from when I was a teenager in Florida a million years ago. So it was weird that, like, those two, like I was saying about, like, the different worlds, different branches of your life or whatever, you guys are the furthest opposite that you could be, and you know, for me,
still came together.
I mean, not that I had anything to do with that, but I was just like, oh my gosh, I have to go.
Right.
So it was kind of, I mean, I'm so glad that I went, and I've actually talked to a few trans youths that I know and to try to get them to come to the
amazing
next one. But to be honest, as a cisgendered straight person, and while I mean, I do consider myself an ally, I sort of felt like I was invading a space. And I know that that's not at all anyone's fault, but my own insecurities.
Yeah.
Because you guys are very welcome. Like, I was upstairs talking to Carl, the guy who runs the place, and he was like, that's a fantastic group of people down there. They're just all so awesome and accepting and amazing. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, that tends to be the case. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, truly.
But there was actually a moment when you were explaining what an egg is.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the night.
Yeah.
And I was at the bar, so my back was to you because I was ordering a drink. But you said, does everyone here know what it is? And I think like everyone, maybe one person said no, but I'm in the back like shaking my head. I'm like, I don't know what that is. And then you made a joke. You were like, oh, so the two straight people in the room don't know what it is. Let me explain. And then.
Yeah. Know. Yeah.
No, I definitely like I had never heard that term because I guess why would I have?
Right. Right.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because like you kind of you were in an egg during a pandemic. Well, I mean, I guess you were an egg your whole life.
Right. Right.
You were able to hatch, I guess, during the pandemic.
Exactly. An egg in online trans terminology is a trans person who doesn't yet know that they are trans, because I suppose there's all different sorts of theories of gender, but I'm coming more to the realization that I was a woman the whole time. I understood myself in different ways, but the ways that I interacted with people, my feelings about things, were such that like I was a woman, right? But I didn't know it. So a trans person who does not yet know that they are trans is an egg. And then people will say, you know, trans people, like it'll come up drunkenly one night, like when you're with your new friends and you're like, okay, so what was everyone's like egg crack moment? And people will be like, oh, you know, the episode where Timmy Turner was a girl, or something like that, right? Choosing a girl on a video game. Stuff like that. These moments where you're like, oh, like I have a really specific weird one that I'll share right now.
Okay. I was like, are you gonna tell us?
Yeah. Because, okay. I sort of alluded.
Can I just, I think the year before this past year, you came out as non-binary?
That's right.
That right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember that. And I remember everybody like, oh, yay, you know, whatever. And then this year it was like, just kidding. I'm actually a woman. And I was like,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So is that kind of part of it or?
Yeah. There, I saw a tweet once that really put it well. It was like the he, him to he, they to they, them to she, her pipeline. You know, that's kind of how it felt for me. But there are some very, very valid non-binary identities of people who, this is what I'm saying, like gender is, there's all these different theories of gender and it's like, it's fluid and blah, blah, blah. I feel empowered when I think of it as like, oh wait, I was always a woman. I just slowly came to understand that. But for some people it's empowering to think of like, oh, it's ever changing, et cetera, you know? I felt a little bit of, and I know I don't need to, but I don't know, maybe this is helpful to someone listening. I felt a little bit of guilt coming out as non-binary and then as a woman, because I was like, is this like how when people come out as bi and then gay and then people don't believe people when they say they're bi, you know?
Okay.
But whatever, we don't need to get into the discourse.
Well, no, but I mean, like, the thing is, though, as far as sexuality goes, it's really, like, it's an individual, like, choice. Like, who, I know that there are stigmas and whatnot, and, like, I know some lesbians who absolutely will not date a woman who claims to be bi.
Right.
Because they've had experiences where they get left for men or something. And, like, that's your choice, I guess, but that doesn't invalidate the existence of, like, a bisexual person.
Right.
And like, so, and a trans person doesn't invalidate the existence of a non-binary person.
Right.
So.
And it was how I understood myself at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Cause you were still kind of searching, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, my egg moment. Mm-hmm. Well, this was like, this is more retroactive, like realizing, oh, that's what my feelings were. There's a feeling that trans people sometimes have for people who they're attracted to, where they sometimes like look back and they're like, wait, was I attracted to this person or did I want to be this person?
Interesting.
And I realized that, yes, I was attracted, but I also wanted to be Sharpay Evans from High School Musical. Yeah.
That is a very specific person.
Yeah. And have you seen High School Musical 3? Have you seen the third one?
I think so. Okay. I'm like one of the only people, I guess, that I even know that like doesn't have like a soft spot for High School Musical. I'm a little bit older than like the people who I think were the intended audience. And totally. When my sister got into it, and she was older than me, but she was super into it. Like, she bought the little soundtrack and everything. I just was kind of like, I don't really care that much. I did enjoy Sharpay. Yeah. I actually think I liked the second one better than the first one.
Oh, yeah.
I know I didn't see the third one in theaters. I think I watched it with some friends, like, drinking one night, like, so.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it is the crown jewel of that trilogy, the third one.
I think it is so good.
Yeah. Oh god, some of the songs in it are just so good. But there's a scene in it where, like, you know, they're trying to unsuccessfully set up High School Musical 4 by like creating this new cast of characters.
Okay.
It's so funny.
There's like people who are like
like the freshmen.
Right, isn't there somebody who like follows Sharpay around or something?
Yeah, she's like this British girl who like is her personal assistant, but then like in the last scene or something, or in the big musical, replaces her a la Anna Kendrick in Camp, you know, like replaces her.
Okay, I do think I'm vaguely remembering this, so.
And yes, and when I watched that, I felt this feeling in my stomach of like, wait. I want to be replacing her, you know, like I was the one taking that. Yeah. Yeah. So
is it specifically like an Ashley Tisdale? Like, is she who you like look up, or specifically Sharpay?
It's Sharpay. Like, okay. I think that if you did a double feature of High School Musical and then like Movies, Musicals and Me, the web series, you would see there's a lot of similarities between the characters of Sharpay Evans and Halpert Evans. Oh, my God. Goodness. I'm just realizing this right now. Oh, my God.
It was always there.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Oh, my God. I need to call my therapist.
Make a mental note.
Yeah.
Well, one day I was like really bored on Netflix and I watched Young and Hungry. Have you ever seen that show?
No.
It's Emily Osment, I think, the sidekick from Hannah Montana. She plays like a personal chef to this like super rich guy. But Ashley Tisdale is a recurring character as a lesbian that wanted to date her. So
I need to watch this.
So I was just gonna say you might want to check it out.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's a way cuter show than I thought it would be. Like, I remember like it was on ABC Family for like a couple years, I think. But I always remember seeing commercials and being like, that looks so dumb. And then one day I just got bored and watched it on Netflix. And before I knew it, I was like 5 or 6 episodes in. And I was like, this is adorable. So
yeah.
Sometimes it's that happens.
Yeah, right?
It's just like a fluffy little show. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was surprised to see her. And then I was like, oh, okay. Because it was like such a diversion from, you know, Disney Channel, I guess. So... let's talk a little bit about Heart of the City. Like, because it's not just a comedy show. It's not even just a variety show. There's a lot of elements to it. So talk to me about, like, how did you come up with this? And, like, maybe what are you hoping for it to become?
Yes. That is such a good question.
Thanks.
thank you. Yeah. So basically, like I said, I just started stand-up at this point about a month and a half ago.
That's amazing, because you are very natural. I mean, but you've always been a performer, but it was very natural to me. Like, she's new at this. Like,
oh, that's so good to hear. That's really good to hear. I mean, you know, it's like I did things that stand-up comedians take years to do. I had this like 1-hour show that we had guests, and of course Clark was hugely helpful. Mm-hmm. But I like in many ways, it was a one-person show, oftentimes. And an hour long of comedy, that takes some stand-ups years to get. So there's a lot of tools that I got in that tool belt that are serving me hugely right now as I jump into a new, just a new form of expression of comedy, right? Yeah. But, so I wanna meet more comics, and I desperately wanna meet more like trans comics and trans performers. And so a really easy way to do that is to host your own show. I say easy, but it is right. Hard, but like, but like, it's like sort of a, if you build it, they will come situation.
Yeah. I was going to like, if you don't see the space, just create the space. And so.
Exactly. Exactly. It's been, you know, I went, one of the comics was this comic named Reed Pope. Mm-hmm. They are trans, mask, non-binary, they, them pronouns. And recently got top surgery, and I saw them doing stand-up at this other show where they were making jokes about their top surgery and making jokes about changing their name and stuff. And I was cracking up, but I was the only trans person in the room. And everyone else was laughing, but I was like, damn, they are the funniest, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was just so excited to provide a space for them and give my trans friends and trans community an opportunity to see a comic who feels very suited towards their sensibilities and their experience. Mm-hmm. Just creating this space so that people can, so that audiences and performers can find each other, you know? And in order to make it a bit more appealing to get people to come out because you gotta put on a show, you know?
Yeah.
We also made it a clothing swap. So half of the room was chairs and the stage. And then the other half was like the bar. And then these six fold out tables. Mm-hmm. Upon which people could bring a buttload of clothes and take a buttload of clothes. Because one of the things about being trans that I'm learning is that you have to get a whole new wardrobe.
You don't have to, but it might be a little strange not to.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to. You definitely don't have to, but I wanted to, you know?
Right.
And a lot of trans people want to, because their old clothes makes them feel dysphoric, and a piece of clothes that helps you feel very much like your gender can really bring out that euphoria, you know?
Well, I mean, you have so many cute outfits now, so.
Oh, thanks for noticing.
Oh, I see you. You are like fashion show on your Instagram. I know. I mean, and why not? Like.
Right? Yeah. Thanks. You know, gender's a performance, and I'm a performer. I'm putting on a show. I'm loving it.
Well, yeah. I love it. Like, I love seeing you look so happy. It's so interesting. Mm. I think it actually might have been you that made the post about, like, earlier, like, when you first publicly came out, mm-hmm. that, like, here's an old photo of me and here's a new photo of me and, like, the difference in my, like, eyes or something. And it's absolutely true. Like, the comfort or, like, the happiness, I guess, of feeling like you look like you're supposed to. I guess is that a safe way to say that?
Yeah. And it's so wide because it's not just about looking how I'm supposed to, but also it's like permission to interact with people how I would like to. Like, mm-hmm. one thing that would make me feel really dysphoric is a way that when I was presenting as a man, when I thought I was a man, that I couldn't be physical and touchy and give people nice little back rubs like I wanted to, you know,
without coming off like a creep, because
exactly
you think that men are being creepy doing that. That's
exactly fair. so things like that, like the way, just like a freedom within my interpersonal relations, where there isn't transphobia. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's certainly not the same thing, and it's hard to even like try to like compare, quote unquote. But like, I was close to twice my size when I was younger. I was a lot larger. So, and I mean, as I'm losing weight and I'm still, you know, I'm still working on it, and like, I'm literally going to go to the gym when we're done speaking. Like,
yeah.
But I have like body dysmorphia in that I still feel like sometimes I am that big.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm taking up a lot more room than I actually am. I try to shrink myself down sometimes. Like,
yeah.
So obviously not the same struggle, but sort of relatable in feeling like out of your comfort zone within your own body, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I asked one of my friends, I told one of my friends, and again, this isn't a word that, there's a lot of ways that our bodies are policed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, for sure.
And a lot of ways that, you know, something about musical theater that made it a tough place to live in, you know, was your body is like the marker of what roles you'll get.
That's true.
And I had this like existential, I would feel, I recognize it now as dysphoria, where I'd be like, just like the hopelessness I would feel when I realized that like all I had to maybe aspire to was like being Olaf on Broadway. I was like, I don't, what am I doing? You know? Yeah.
I get that.
But it's, I'm sorry. That's just to say, like, it, I think it's very, very similar. I think it's very similar. And oftentimes, like, disability justice and trans justice and, like, issues of, like, fat phobia and stuff are very, very tied, because it's all about, like, how, who are spaces created for, and, like, how are our bodies, like, low-key policed through those choices.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's hard because I feel like this generation, I don't even know if that's the right, just this present moment, people are trying to like be seen, and there's so much backlash like about everything. Like there's like people like Lizzo who are like, it's okay to love yourself in this big body.
Right.
And people are like, no, that's bad. And then there's people like Laverne Cox who's, I'm trans and I want to be an actor, so I'm going to do this thing. And it was like, she was like, although you guys were making the joke that it was Caitlyn Jenner, I kind of see it as Laverne Cox as being like the one that was like in your face, like, here I am.
The inventor of trans people.
The inventor of trans
people. Yeah.
So, but it's just so funny to me because like the older generation, like people my parents' age and whatnot, and I've had conversations with my dad and stuff too, about trans people and non-binary people, and they're like, I just don't understand like why they have to like be in your face. Like, my dad is not really like that, he's much more accepting, but
right
that those conversations, and it's like, but they have always been here, it has always been a thing,
right?
Why does it bother you that they decided they're not going to be like secrets and like dark, you know, corners anymore?
Right.
Are you like, how are you dealing with that kind of stuff? Because I'm sure that you've experienced some backlash in some way.
Yeah. It's been, well, it's interesting too, because so I'm a double winner, which means I'm trans and gay. I'm like mostly into women, you know? And when it comes to sexuality, there are choices, you know, you look at Pete Buttigieg, you know, it's like, that's essentially a straight couple of two gay men, you know? Yes, aesthetically speaking. But when it comes to gender divergence, like gender nonconforming in any way, even your exploration like has to be kind of public, because like part of your gender is how you are perceived by others. And how you relate to others. So it's like, you can't like, well, I mean, I say you can't, but like, it's harder. And my heart goes out, honestly, to people who have to be closeted trans, who might have some gender exploration like at home, but like have to present as a different gender at work or something. Mm-hmm. It's just much harder to do that, I think, than, you know, if your sexuality doesn't come up, you don't have to talk about it.
Right.
But from my experiences, like, there's definitely been, one interesting thing about the trans femme experience versus the trans mask experience is, like, for trans men, they are experiencing what privilege might feel like. Like, they're coming into a power and privilege and in this culture's eyes. Mm-hmm. And for trans women, it's like you're, like, losing it, and you have to, like, try and figure out how to navigate that, you know?
That's a good point. And, but it's, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. And I guess I'm a pretty accepting person overall, like, just mm-hmm. in general. Like, mm-hmm. I one of the first trans people I met, like, personally, mm-hmm. he literally was just like, oh, I identify as this. I use these pronouns. And I was like, okay. And, like, I messed up a couple times. We were just kind of like, okay. And when I did, I was more, like, upset than he was, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. No, I'm so sorry. He's, it's fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
By that same token, while maybe 10 people are like me, there'll be one person who's loudly like, no, you don't have a penis. You're not a man. And it's like, why? Like, why? Why does this bother you?
Right.
That I'll never understand. I don't get why people get so angry about, like, other people's, like, preferences.
Genitals.
Yeah, well, exactly. Anything.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I see, like, you know, the terrible, like, arguments were like, well, I identify as a dog. Does that mean I'm a dog? And it's like, probably, because you're being a dog. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
love that. Yes. Yeah.
So I just don't get why people get so angry, but it seems like for every, you know, 10 people saying, like, yes, this is cool, there's at least one person, like, loudly shouting, and that's the one that everyone focuses on.
Right. Yeah. That is interesting. It's wild the way that, because then it gets kind of used for other purposes, mm-hmm. right? Like, I can literally last night there was something on Fox News where Tucker Carlson blamed us leaving Afghanistan, like, partly on gender studies, and I was like, okay. Got it. You know, sorry. Yeah. Might be.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's what I mean. Like, it's just so crazy how, like, I guess, like, conservatives or Christians or whatever they want to call themselves are the ones that get so angry about, like, society changing or whatever. And it's not that it's changing. It's just that it's becoming more acceptable to be out, I guess.
Exactly.
And we're in a bubble because in New York, you know, things are much more acceptable than, like, in the Midwest or something.
Hell, I just spent 6 months in Texas, and I'm going back to Thursday for a week, and I am pretty freaking terrified.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
because you never know. Like, that's a scary reality.
Yeah, it's true. But if I may really quickly just say one thing, I have been taking these self-defense classes.
Awesome. As well you and should, I guess.
Yeah. It's this course that, honestly, like, I don't know when you're going to release this episode, but if there's any trans femme people in New York City who want to take it, it's like, it's a study that's ongoing. And so I got paid to take this 5-week self-defense class because they're, like, building out this program. And so I like, you know, who knows how this, I hope I never have to use it, but I feel like I have some tools now.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's actually, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And if you want to, like, give me the info, I can post it when I post the episode.
Awesome.
You know? I feel like I keep deviating from, like, I really wanted to talk about your show, and we only have a few more minutes. Like, I'm watching the clock,
oh,
and I know you have stuff to do. So it's a clothing swap as well, but it's not just comedy. You had performers, and you joked that you wanted circus acts, but what are you hoping for it to become?
Oh my God. Okay. My hope is that it can grow. Well, gosh, I don't know. I want it to be something where I want it to be a variety show. Mm-hmm. So I don't want it to just be comics, and I don't want it to just be singers, but you know, movies, musicals, and me, when we did that, I had some producing skills I learned from that, where I used a lot of these skills where I learned how to, and I reached out to comics who could sing, and I reached out to musical theater people, like my friend, mm-hmm. like Ethan Slater was in one, you know, and then like,
Who played SpongeBob for those?
Who played SpongeBob? Yes, yes. And then like some of my other friends who were just UCB people were in it, right? So I'm using those same skills like I had, like getting some of those same people, but I really want it to be, I want there to be some weird acts, like where, like I was talking with one girl who she's like, I'm a hacker and I could give like a 5-minute presentation on like how to hack a certain something or other. Because I also want there to be this like revolutionary, like mutual aid-y feeling in there of like, hey, like we had this QR code that had all of this queer like literature.
Yeah.
That you could queer and abolitionist literature in the QR code. And it was free, but like donations and like all the donations were just, I paid like a couple of my expenses and then the rest of it was like just split equally between the 8 performers, you know?
Awesome. And with the clothing swap kind of thing, do you think like, is it just kind of like anything goes or was, because I remember there was like closer to the date, you were like, specifically we're looking for this stuff too. So are you going to stuff like that? Like, could it like possibly like be themed a little bit or like,
oh, that's interesting. That's a really cool idea. Like maybe for the October one, it's like bring costumes.
There you go. Also maybe like accessories. I have purses. I don't know how many clothes I could donate, but like I have so many purses.
Yeah. That's would be so welcome. Yeah, truly. Okay. Like I know that for me, you know, being a woman, holy shit. There's so much. Can I curse on here?
Yes.
Okay, there's just so much. There's so many pieces to it.
You know, you need the shoes, you need the purse that goes with the shoes.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah.
You need the fabulous hat, which I wore to your show.
Yes. Oh wow. Which was fabulous. Listeners,
you.
I want to say it was a fabulous hat. Yeah. Okay. A couple things that I want to say about that. Because right when you said at the beginning of the podcast, that you felt as though you were invading the space. Mm-hmm. I totally understand where you're coming from. And I know I had a couple cis friends who felt similarly, but it's so important to me that there are cis people there because I felt like there was magic in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm so glad I went. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh no. And I know. And it sounds like you're planning on coming back. So it's not like, I'm just saying my like, feelings about that because I want to figure out how I can help cis people feel like you're so welcome. Like I want you here so you can see this.
Yeah.
But the space is going to center trans voices, but you know, there were like 3 cis performers.
Yeah.
But like, it kind of makes me think about how, who was it? Do you know No Name?
Mm-mm.
Okay, she's a rapper and like a radical, like revolutionary person on like Twitter and stuff. And she talks about how her Twitter and her art is like for Black people.
Okay.
And one of my friends, and okay, look, I can't speak for what No Name feels, and I'm not gonna pretend to here, right? Mm-hmm. But like, and one of my friends was like, does that mean I shouldn't listen to her music? And I was like, oh, I don't think that's what she meant. And so I'll say from my perspective, because I can't speak for No Name, but like for me, yeah, like my my Instagram and me living as like a really out, loud and proud trans person mm-hmm. is for me, and it's for trans people.
Right.
Like, it's for other trans people. Like, I hope they know, like, I hope the hot trans girls who are further along in their transition stuff, like, notice me. And then I hope that the younger trans people see that light in my eye. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, it's like for trans people. But also, yeah, I love every like and every comment from a cis person, you know, like, like, yeah. And, right, and
it, yeah. Essentially, while you're trying to make a safe space or whatever, but you're making a space, not necessarily a safe space. But
right,
a space
right, loaded, for, but yeah.
Right, yeah, for a specific portion of, like, our society, it shouldn't be exclusionary, and you're not. Like, I know that you're not excluding.
Right.
It was just for, and I mean, also being there, like, alone, like, not knowing, like.
Totally.
Normally, I feel like in most places, that's how someone in your community would feel elsewhere.
Right.
So it was almost right. like a role reversal. And like, it right. was interesting to me. And I did not feel unwelcome. I just felt like it wasn't for me necessarily.
Totally. Like, yeah. Right. Right.
And like, that's okay. I'm comfortable enough as a person that like, I recognized it and still was able to like enjoy myself.
Yeah.
But like in retro, I was like, I wonder if anyone felt like, why is that person here or something?
Oh,
gosh. I don't think anyone did, but you know, that you get in your head. So then I was mm-hmm. like, should mm-hmm. I have been there? And that kind of thing. Mm.
Well, let me just say, I was so glad that you were there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And that, and that it's so good that you're noticing these feelings, you know?
Yeah.
That is really, I think that sort of questioning is a big part of like an effective allyship, you know? Being like, what am I feeling? I wonder if that's why I blah, blah, blah. And then the last thing that I'll say is that like, hell yeah, if you want to come help us set up next time, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah, no, I would be happy to. Cool. Well, yeah, no, I did, like I said, I reached out to some people, so hopefully I will have some friends come and see things. And he actually, one of them was like, because I've brought it up to him several times, and I'm like, I don't want to keep, like, putting this on you, like, hey, you're a trans person, come to this trans thing. And he was like, no, keep annoying me, otherwise I'll forget about it, because that's the kind of person I am. So, and then he ended up, he was like, I wonder if so-and-so would be into it. And I'm like, sure, tell them, like, make this happen. So,
yes. Yes.
But yeah, so like before the next one, are you look like poetry readers? Like what?
Ooh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I actually might have someone do some poetry. I have, this friend might do some hacking. Someone else, there's these two girls that I met that they're both these trans girls and they juggle together. Ooh. And they have a joke of they have an act called Trans Girls Passing. I don't know if you get that. Do you get that? Should I explain it?
You can explain it.
I'll explain it.
I feel like I do, and then I'm gonna be like, maybe I don't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so passing is a word that, you know, it's like part of a discourse of like trans people who want to remain visibly trans and trans people who want to seem as though they are, you know, like when a trans girl passes, it's like someone thinks that she's a cis girl.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And okay. Yeah, so it's a whole discourse and we don't have to get into it, but
I know you have plans, but if you want to come back on, like, I feel like this was a really interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I could keep talking to you for hours, I'm sure.
I would love that. I would really love that. That sounds cool. That sounds awesome. Great to me. Yeah.
So.
Sweet.
Does Heart of the City have, like, its own accounts and stuff yet, or are you working on that? Where can people find you, find more information? Yes. Let's do that before you head out.
Yes. Okay. People can find me at my Twitter and Instagram at Esther Fallick. Yes, my last name is Phallic. I'm keeping it because it reminds me of where I came from. That's one of my stand-up jokes. Thank you. Yeah. You heard that one before, but I know the audience hasn't. So, yeah.
I'll still laugh though, so it's fine.
Thank you. Thank you. With Heart of the City, there is not yet an Instagram account, but I do think we're going to make it pretty soon. Might even, because I'm thinking about making it an open mic that would be weekly with then like a monthly show or something. But
You could probably also like turn it into, I mean, I don't know how much you want to do as far as like the clothing thing goes, but you could probably turn that into like an online thing too. Like let people
like,
post and share like clothes, like in case people can't make it to
oh, yeah.
like almost like a virtual like garage sale or something.
Oh, that's really cool.
I have a lot of
Like,
ideas.
yeah, okay. So we should meet for part two of the podcast, and then we should meet also for me to just like hear your producer
You know,
thoughts.
like this whole, as long as I've known like Darren and like the Starkey people and everything, everyone's always been like, you should be in some kind of like media promotion something. And it's like, I would love to do that. I don't know how,
Right.
like,
Yeah.
but
One
yeah,
small
no, I'm
little,
happy
yeah.
to help. Like, that's
Cool.
all right. So Esther
Well,
Falick on
yeah.
Twitter and Instagram, and
Yes.
you'll find the
And
details about everything else. And the next
yes.
one is it's the September 2nd,
Yeah,
right?
that's right. That's
It's
right.
coming up
So
so
if,
fast.
yeah, I know. I like to, I haven't
Gotta
booked
start
any
booking
of the acts. I need to do
it.
that. Yeah. So, and we're probably gonna do some more movies, musicals, and me songs. Like, I'd love to do a duet or a trio, one some of those, you know. So
Well, I was just gonna ask, and this will probably also be off the record, but you could probably like reinvent the show. Like, obviously, you guys would need to write new songs, but like, as like the diva who never gets the parts or something, you know, like.
right? Okay, so this is actually what
Like
I'd
be
like to
some kind
do,
of like
and
angry at like Patti LuPone or something, or maybe not Patti because she's kind of
yeah,
older, but like
right, yeah. So I really
Laura
want
Alchemist or
to do
something.
literally, oh my God, yeah. I want to do like an act. I want to do a two act show where the first act is like what you've seen, just a little shorter, and the second act is a 5-year time jump, and Halpert has transitioned.
Oh.
And she's like dealing with all of her feelings there, you know?
That would be cool. Because yeah, I was, I mean, I wanted, like, I always thought that movies, musicals, and me had, like, the potential to continue on. And then,
Totally,
honestly, one of
yeah.
my first thoughts when you came out, I was like, I don't think she's going to do that show anymore.
I
But, I
know,
mean,
but
you
the
could.
songs are
It's
so
still, it would be
good.
like
It's all in the
drag,
songs,
you
so
know?
fun.
Like.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, like, especially because the character's trans. Like, I'd be playing an egg and then a trans woman.
Right. No, I think that would be
Yeah.
awesome. I would definitely come see
Yeah.
it.
Oh,
So,
cool.
all
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you
Well,
so
yeah.
much for doing this. I feel so, I'm
My
like literally
pleasure.
watching the clock going, like, I don't want to keep
I
hurting you.
know. We'll do it again. I'm out of town next week. We'll talk in a second.
Yeah, no. So thank
Yeah.
you so much for doing this. I will post everything and let you know like when it's up, obviously. All right, so sorry for kind of, there's a couple of parts during that interview that were like a little bit choppy because we went like off the record a couple of times and I was like, how do I smoothly transition this? Oh well, I'll just cut. So if you heard some of that, that's what happened. We were just kind of sidebarring a little bit. But Esther, thank you so much for talking to me, and I really do hope we do a part two, and I believe we're working on scheduling that when she gets back to town. If you want to go to Heart of the City, the next one is on September 2nd, which is a Thursday. It's at the Nest in Brooklyn. It's actually pretty easy to get to. For me in Astoria, it took me like an hour to get down there. Like, and I had to change from the F to the B or something, but whatever. Easy shot out there. Follow Esther on Instagram and Twitter at Esther Falick. You can follow the podcast at Side B Radio on Twitter, Side B Podcast on Instagram. I'm not cool enough to have the same name on every platform, but whatever. If you want to get at me on like, well, Twitter, I still have, I'm Steph Walsh. My Facebook, you guys know it's Stephanie Walsh. But I mean, I'm pretty easy to contact. So, and if you follow one of the accounts, it links you to everything else. If you liked this, you could leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That would be so cool of you. And catch up on other episodes. And again, let me know if you want to hear. Obviously, I can just muse about things. Like, I spent 10 minutes complaining about Instagram at the top of this episode. So if you want to hear me talk about stuff, let me know. I'm going to a singles color party tonight. Apparently the colors are like wristbands you're going to wear. I'll let you know how it goes. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to hear what's going on with me and what fun things I find to do in the city or something, I don't know. I could be down with doing an episode just about me, not interviewing somebody else. Interview myself. Stephanie, what's going on? Oh, well, nothing. I don't know. So, maybe that would be fun. I don't know. It's hard because, like, you guys know I used to have two other podcasts as well, which are just kind of on, like, a permanent hiatus at the moment. It's not like we'll never do them again. But, like, one of them was regarding Disney, and there's so much Disney news right now that I'm like, I wish that we were podcasting. And then even, like, with the pop stuff, like, with What's the Deal with This Pop Life, all the things going on with Britney Spears and all these, like, collaborations that Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Boys to Men, and they're all like combining into these little super groups, and it's like, what is happening? And I have nowhere to talk about it. But I mean, I guess I could just vent about that on here too. I don't know. Let me know what you think. I'm gonna go because this episode is getting longer and longer because I just keep talking because it's been a while, so I get that too. Elsie Fest is next week. If you are going, let me know. And maybe that's something else I can talk about on the pod. Like, I guess not next week, but the week after, I could give you a recap or something. I don't know, but we'll figure it out. So thank you again for listening. Follow, like, subscribe, share, blah, 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 blah. Would mean so much to me. And I will talk to you guys soon. Take care. Bye.